podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. Happy Easter, everybody. I trust that you've had a good rest. We're taking a short break from our usual study of the book of Genesis. And today we're looking at a prophecy given by the prophet Isaiah about Jesus. It is probably the most succinct and clearest explanation of what you and I believe and of the Easter story. It begins in Isaiah chapter 52, beginning in verse 13, where it says, "Behold," that word "behold" simply means watch and see. I love that word, not the word "behold" necessarily, but the word "watch." It's a personal statement that God has given me through my 30, 35-year journey with Him, that every time I hear I'm depressed or in trouble or in crisis, I would hear that word mentioned by the Lord to me and say, "Watch." And when I hear that, it's almost a signal for me that something amazing is about to happen. I trust that you have a similar relationship with the Lord, that you can hear certain things. I know that when He says, "Joey," which is my name, there's something He's about to do in my life again. And so I want to encourage you to have that moment to hear from Him. But here it says, "Behold, watch, my servant shall act wisely." Speaking of Jesus, He says, "I'm sending Jesus, and He will act very wisely. Wisdom will be marked with His life, entire life, and everything He's about to do will be marked by wisdom. And He shall be high." This wisdom is not ordinary. This person who carries this wisdom is not your ordinary, everyday fare of wisdom. It is a high-level kind of wisdom. In fact, it's not just a high kind of wisdom. It is a lifted-up type of wisdom. And it's not just lifted up. It's actually exalted. It's way beyond wisdom as you and I even understand. It is the wisdom of God. And the question for you and I today is, what is this wisdom, this highest, most exalted wisdom? Wouldn't you want to have it? Wouldn't you want to know how to get it? And sometimes the other question would be, why don't I necessarily experience it on a fairly regular basis? Verse 14 says, "As many were astonished as to you," there's this word shamem in the Hebrew, which means it is beyond belief. It is stunning to the point of disbelief. This wisdom is so amazing that it's stunning and it's beyond belief. Further, he says, because His appearance was marred, speaking of the death and suffering of Christ, that how can this be wisdom, that this person would suffer this inhumane act of humans beyond human resemblance, that He couldn't even be recognized, and His form beyond that of the children of mankind. Basically, after what happened to Him, He couldn't even be recognized because He was so marred and destroyed. And yet it says He shall sprinkle many nations. That word naza means that He will affect many nations, that this seemingly unwise yet exalted lofty form of wisdom is so stunning to the point of unbelief, and yet it will touch and affect many nations. In fact, it won't just touch nations, it will shut the mouths of kings. This wisdom is so profound that the wisest of rulers will be shut down. They won't be able to speak. How would you like to understand this wisdom? "For that which has not been told for them, yet they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand." In other words, it is unheard of, and yet it's unthinkable, and yet it can be seen, and at some measure it can be understood. Some won't, some will. And my hope and prayer is that you sit here today and you hear the preaching and the declaration of God's word in prophecy, according to Isaiah, that you would see this wisdom. How can we see it is the question for you and I. How can we see this wisdom? And yet, more than that, why don't we see it? If we're supposed to be believers, why is it that I don't see it every day? Or for those of us who are not believers, how can I see it is the question. Isaiah chapter 53, beginning in verse 1, explains how or why we don't see it. "Who has believed that he has heard from us, what he has heard from us, and to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed?" This is speaking really of a question that the prophet is asking the audience listening to him. why is it that people don't believe that they've heard from us, what they've heard from us, and more importantly, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Basically, when you ever see the phrase, the arm of the Lord in Scripture, what that means is the power of God. This wisdom is not just couched in so much greatness and exaltation. It is actually one of the means to seeing the power of God move in our lives. He's asking a question. Who has believed and why don't we believe? Those of us who have heard. And to whom has the arm of the Lord and the power of God been revealed? Question, the reason why we don't, he says in verse 2, is for he grew up before him like a young plant. In other words, there was nothing extraordinary about him. In a world that's always looking for the spectacular, for the amazing, for the mind-blowing, for the latest post on Facebook and Instagram, it says this is a non-event, like a root out of dry ground. In other words, the reason why sometimes or often we do not see the wisdom of God is because we're looking for the spectacular when really what it's saying is it comes is often couched in the very ordinary, the ordinary things of life. Jesus did not come as a general, as a king or a prince in a white horse. He came as a carpenter's son in very ordinary circumstances. If you're to see the wisdom of God, you want to see it in very ordinary circumstances. Further, he says in the second half of verse 2, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him. Basically, he didn't look good. He was no Brad Pitt, amen? This picture of Jesus that you see all over Europe with a blonde hair parted in the middle that looks like sometimes you can't even figure out what he is with his golden beard, that's not what this Bible says he is. Make no mistake about it. The Bible says he didn't look good. And in a world that's enamored with the sexy, quote-unquote, the guy that always looks good and always perfect, that's not where you're going to find wisdom. No beauty that we should desire. In other words, he's not even attractive. This idea of movies of Christ that show that he's attractive, that's not what the prophecy is saying. In fact, that's not how he lived on earth. He lived in very ordinary means. He was despised and rejected by men. He had no credentials. He had no titles. Man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knew exactly how people felt. No connections and no claim to fame. If you're looking for God's wisdom, it's very probable and very possible that the reason why you're missing it is you're looking in the wrong places. Where it is often found is in the ordinary places. It's in ordinary lives, in ordinary people. It's in relationships, in marriages, in children, in fathers, in mothers, in coming to church, which doesn't always have to be extraordinary with smoke screens and all sorts of lights. It's ordinary. And as one whom men would hide their faces from, I was thinking about this verse right here, thinking, who are the people that men hide their faces from? You know who they are? The ones who don't have money. The city where I live, there are a lot of beggars in Manila, and we often hide our faces from them because we know what they're after. This is Jesus. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He was a list of no looks, not attractive, no credentials, no titles, no connections, no claim to fame, no money. Reminded of the story of Norma Mortensen. Norma was a factory worker. She was not much of a lot of looks, not very attractive, no credentials, no titles. But with a little bit of hair, dye, and makeup, she transformed into Marilyn Monroe. And now she's got looks, and she's attractive, and she's credentials, and she's got titles and connections, claim to fame and money. And three marriages after, depression, and still not finding a way, looking for a way. By the way, and I'm not trying to dishonor her, I'm trying to make an example of life, that we keep looking for the spectacular. We keep looking for the self-promoter. It is in her own biography, says that she was a master at self-promotion. And that's what our world's becoming to be. Mastering the art of promoting ourselves rather than understanding it isn't the spectacular. is actually the simple. I found that if I wanted my marriage to succeed, it wasn't the spectacular, it wasn't the roses that made my wife love me. In fact, it took me decades to find out my wife doesn't even like roses. You know what really made it work for her? The simple stuff. Wash the dishes, Joey. Take out the trash, Joey. Bite your tongue, Joey. There was nothing spectacular. It was simple. But you know what? That's what made my marriage of now almost 37 years spectacular. It was the ordinary. It was the giving up of things. It was realizing that my wife wears more shoes than I do. And all the men said amen. And all the women said amen. And that's not a bad thing, by the way. It'd be a problem if your wife wore less shoes than you did. Well, that's not so funny right now because a lot of you do, right? Self-promotion. God wants you to have self-denial. We're looking for worldly success, and God says, it's the sacrifice. It's the giving up. It's the not putting yourself ahead. It's the often the ordinary. I was in a board meeting with our church yesterday, and there's Sweetek, who's our treasurer of our church. This was not a picture from yesterday. This was a picture from December. And it was Sweetek's birthday. So they decided to honor him, and he was served the church for 20 years as a treasurer for many, many years. And they were talking about how calm his effect was on people, that he was never had an agenda. He was always the... it was my turn to honor him, I said, you know what I saw with this guy is the amount of time that he's devoted to this church, because I keep seeing him at the office. We don't pay him. He's a volunteer. Some ordinary ways. But you know what was stunning was after everybody honored him, when the board talked about how Kenneth and Rachel reached out to him. Kenneth ran to him and brought him to small group. Rachel helped him put together his wedding. He was a new Christian. Julia and his wife Martin and her husband Martin reached out to him, became friends to him. And he, in turn, reached out to Tony, who he mentored him in his marriage. It's amazing how ordinary life happens and spectacular things happen when people learn. That life happens in ordinary means, in ordinary ways. We're now being bombarded by the world looking for the spectacular, the success, the pinnacle, the highest thing. That's not where you're going to find it, folks. You're going to find it in ordinary lives and ordinary people who live extraordinary lives because they understand how it works. Verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Speaking of Jesus, that he says he chose to carry all our griefs, which is why we can live the freedom from sorrow that we have today. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. In fact, what this verse is saying is that we looked at that as a judgment on God for him, at least the people who saw Jesus crucified. Then it goes to verse 5 where it says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Notice these three words, pierced, crushed, and chastised. The reason why you and very often I do not see the wisdom of God is because we don't understand that it's not just couched in often the ordinary. It is often discovered in death. The greatest wisdom you're ever going to find is the ability to learn how to die every day. Some of you are looking for the day that you're going to die one day. The secret is to die daily every day, so you're so well practiced that by the time you get there, you're used to it already. Are you here? You want to rest in peace? You can rest in peace every day, and the secret is dying every day, because resurrection cannot happen until you first die. You want your marriage resurrected? You need to die. Your habits need to die. You want your health resurrected? Your habits need to die. That tub of ice cream that you keep eating every week has to die if you want your body to resurrect. Are you following me? That's the wisdom of God. We keep looking for the resurrection one day into heaven. No, 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 no. The resurrection is a message to you and I that needs to happen every day. Yes. You want a lot of money? Die to some of your habits. Check your eyes and train your eyes to die from seeing sale signs. Amen? The accounting of heaven, folks, is the exact opposite of the way we live. It's actually counterintuitive. He who loses his life shall find it. The more you try to find your life, the more you're going to lose it. And the more you try to lose your life, it is amazing what you find. The resurrected life. A new Joey. A new Arnie. A new Rhea. A new person. Because that's the way God designed it. And when we live that way, we will keep seeing death and resurrection, metamorphosis, chrysalis, a transformed life. This is the wisdom of God. And then every time we try to look at preserving that, we miss out on the wisdom of God. The reason why I was out was because I'm trying to scale down in Manila, trying to move out of a home my wife and I have been living in for the last 24 years. And it's where my kids grew up, and it's kind of a form of dying because you're giving away old rollerblades of your little children. You're giving away furniture that won't fit into the new house that is a fourth of the old house. We're empty nesters. And every time the renovator would ask me, "Sir, what do you think about it?" Ask her. I'm just dying to myself. The more you do, it's amazing how more blessed you become. He who is first is last. It's always the opposite, isn't it? On my way to Manila, I was sitting on the, usually on the aisle on the coach side. And as soon as we landed, I was trying to make space for my wife to get through so that she could ease out. It's midnight, and I'm standing at the back. And the guy beside me was a little pushy. He was kind of kneeing me. I felt like he was in a hurry. And so as soon as the doors opened, I was getting pushed. And I'm trying to get my wife through. My wife walks very slowly, so I'm walking slowly with her. And I'm getting irritated by this guy. I thought, if you want to be out first, buy a business class ticket. So I get to the road. You know how the tubes are. It fits two, and I'm trying to stay with my wife. And so I'm so irritated by him, I start to walk slow. By the way, if that was you, I'm sorry, okay? So I'm walking slowly now. I'm trying to irritate him. I'm irritated by him, so I'm irritating him. He's trying to get first at me. So we turn the corner, and now there's three lanes, and he skirts over and overtakes us and gives me this glance. Old man. And I'm getting there, and finally we get to where the immigration is. The lines are long, and there I was, the senior citizen lane. The first is last, and the last is first. And I get there, and I get my luggage, and I said, "Good for you. See, the Word of God works for me. I'm in the carousel. I'm waiting for this, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. You need to die. You're so arrogant, you've even figured out a way to use the Word. You don't even know this guy. You don't know what he's been through. You don't know where he was. You don't know what he's going through. You don't know why he's in a rush. We need to die, folks, more than you realize. We all do. That's how you find the greatest shall be the servant. It's always in reverse. This thing, the accounting of heaven is reversed, folks. You don't want to get there and all of a sudden your balance sheet doesn't look right. Because it's the resurrection. It goes on to life. But you got to die first if you want to see this. It's kind of like this thing I saw on Instagram about the resurrection. If you're a student, this is for you. I specifically picked this one for you. This is how you resurrect a grade, apparently, is if you got caught by your father, you can, and you're failing, you can actually do that. And you can transform the dead into life. Didn't mean to add that. I just saw that yesterday, although it was neat. There's a worldly way to beat the system, but there's a godly way. The way to do that is to die to yourself, to choose to die to yourself every day. And every time you do that, you will find the wisdom of God. Verse 6, and we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid all of our wrongdoings to his son. How unfair is that? It's crazy. Why would he deserve all our errors and all our mistakes? By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. In other words, he was oppressed and judged and taken away. And for his generation to consider them, he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. It's a question. Why would somebody be tortured and marred and oppressed and all this injustice? And they made his grave with the wicked when he had not done anything wrong, although he had done no violence. And there was no deceit in him. Let me tell you the last key to finding God's wisdom. Often in the ordinary, discovered in death, it's usually unfair. And that's what happened to our Jesus. He died an unfair judgment. And if you're going to find the wisdom of God, you're going to have to understand, do not be that little boy who always complains and says, unfair, unfair, unfair. Realize and understand in a sinful, marred, wrecked world, life is unfair. It's usually unfair. And every time you find that and you're willing to live in that, you will find the wisdom of God. Monty Williams was an NBA player, and he had a beautiful wife, loved his wife to bits. His testimony was after every game, after he played, he became an assistant coach. And after every game, every time, he would just rush home and to be with his wife. He just loved her. And he said, he was a Christian. I just lived the ordinary life. I just want to be with my wife and family. And that was my life. Children, do what Jesus wants me to do. And one day, the unthinkable happened. He had a phone call and on the line said, your wife has just had an accident. And she's in the hospital and you need to go because she's fighting for her life. Long story short, wife died and Monty found himself doing his wake. And this is a picture of his wife and the accident. And this picture here is part of a video, if you want to watch it, that's gone viral. And newscasters from different parts of the United States started airing it because of the fact that he forgave the woman who was under substance abuse, who killed his wife. It was fascinating to watch it with very little emotions, with no tears, no reactions. He just spoke. And I'll read to you excerpts of that eulogy. He says, we want answers, but we don't always get an answer. She fit me perfectly. As hard as this is for my family, by the way, he has 5 kids. And for you, this will work out. I know because I've seen this in my life. It doesn't take away the pain, but this will work out because God always causes things, all things to work out. Doesn't mean that it won't be hard. Doesn't mean it won't be painful. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have tough times. He says, I want to thank all of you. I said, we all need the Lord. I want to thank all of you for coming to celebrate my wife. We didn't lose her. When you lose something, you can't find her. I miss holding her hand. I miss talking to my wife, but let's not lose sight of what's important. God is important. What Christ did is most important because I know exactly where she is. Resurrection life is what makes things possible that are impossible. In an unfair world where things happen, bad things and good things, the resurrection rectifies, resolves, and makes things just. The resurrection makes the ordinary extraordinary. It makes death the entrance to newness of life. It makes the unjust reckoned and rectified. The whole message of the gospel, the resurrection we have in Christ, is not just something that happens when you physically die. It actually begins the day you receive Jesus Christ into your heart. When you have that life and that understanding that this life is not just meant to be on this earth, then you would be willing to live the ordinary ways that become extraordinary. I often say we're not trying to make the natural supernatural. The resurrection life in Christ has made us already supernatural. Our job is to just make that ordinary and natural. To walk every day in the reality of the supernatural things that God has given us. To find newness of life every time we die to ourselves. And to understand that in the midst of any form of injustice, at some point in my life, it will be reckoned with and rectified. Amen? Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Just be still for a minute. If you're here this morning and you don't have Jesus in your heart and you have not encountered the message of the salvation of Jesus, this is your day. And if you're here and you're saying, God, I want that resurrection life. I want that wisdom that's beyond human comprehension. Would you just lift your hand very quickly? I just want to see you. Yes, 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 Lord. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus, for the resurrection life that comes from you. Father, you see our hands. And today, on Easter Sunday 2019, we receive your free gift of eternal life by faith. And Lord, we look forward to seeing our ordinary lives lived out in extraordinary ways. Dying to ourselves into resurrecting into newness of life for all of eternity, here and now and forevermore. And Lord, that whatever unfairness and injustice we may face today, we can trust that one day it will be reckoned with and rectified. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Give the Lord a shout and a clap this morning. Hallelujah. Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.